This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, oh man, Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. Kevin, I just learned that you really love fireworks. And so I wanted to share this story real quick. I was having dinner with a guy who, he grew up in Buffalo. And he was when he was a kid, they would ride their bicycles across the border to Canada because I guess fireworks in Buffalo were illegal or in Niagara Falls or wherever he was. And so he would ride his bicycle across there. And he said they had these little passports. They'd get across. They'd go buy fireworks right on the other side. And then they would take apart their bicycles and shove all the fireworks into the little piping areas and then ride their bikes back across and smuggle in fireworks across the border. And I was like, that at first I thought probably what you were thinking, that they would put it on their bicycles and then, you know, they would
have the most badass ride you've ever seen.
But instead they were saying, you know what? No, we're just going to make sure that we have these fireworks whenever we get home. So I'm looking, that's an awesome story.
That's where their life of crime began.
Yeah, and, yeah, there's more to it too. But Kevin, one day, maybe if you need some fireworks, we can smuggle some across the border for you. But they're legal in Texas, right?
So in a lot of areas.
In the areas that have wet surroundings
or in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I think we should open up the show today with which frequent guests from Sean and RJ do you think will get the next management position in DFW sports? So Brett Boone has taken over as the part-time hitting coach, pseudo offensive coordinator. The way they do that is still really confusing to me. So which guests that they have on frequently do you think will get a job in an organization? Nick Harris.
Well, I mean, he's running the Star Telegram now. So, you know, like he's taking that over.
Do you think Mike McCarthy could get a job with the Cowboys again? He was on their show a lot.
After he denied Pat McAfee his vape pen, I'd probably so. You know, he was like, nope, no thank you. I got business to take care of here.
Okay. Alec, or the
Can I ask the future players to not smoke weed if I'm here doing it?
Or the Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. Who will be the next frequent Sean and RJ guest to get a position within one of our organizations? Alec, is there anyone you like to throw out, like to champion their cause?
Jerry Jones.
I could see Nick Eatman getting a very important job. He seems like he's up to the task. He can handle the pressure.
Yeah, I like it. All right, so we'll keep an eye out on if Nick Eatman will be named the passing game coordinator or some such.
What could Jerry Jones' next job be? You know, like what it would be the next
Actually,
thing for him?
You know what makes sense, the most sense coach, if you think about it, is for him to hire Sean, RJ, and Bobby since he was about to take away their other jobs.
Makes sense,
So it only makes sense that he would be like, hey, you're done, but I'm going to give you a different job.
You're back here with us.
Yeah, that would be nice. Let's see if we can make that happen. In the meantime, let's talk about the Texas Rangers. Do you think a new hitting coach in the aforementioned Brett Boone, who is going to be on tomorrow morning, it sounds like, with Sean and RJ, and the return of Evan Carter could be the next step to lead to a rejuvenated offense.
Anytime you've had, you're hiring a new position and there is like a problem with the last person, when you're doing the hiring part of it, doing the interviewing part of it, what do you, you've been through this process before where you're going to fill the position of somebody that they didn't love. Well, how are you going to do it differently than this guy? So what happens? They tell you all the things that this guy did, and you learn all the things that were going on so that you can change your messaging, so that you can be a little bit different. And that's what they're wanting, is a different voice from this. And it sounds like his messaging, from what they understood, is very different from the more analytic style.
Yeah.
So I am hopeful that line of earn your home run swing, that line really sticks with me, because Kevin, we've seen how many 877-881-1053. How many people out there have been furious with Adolis Garcia just swinging away at every pitch?
Sure.
And that's just one example.
His home run swing feels like every swing.
Yeah, that's just one example. And, you know, with Jock Peterson, I'm still looking at him like, I don't see a dude that's seeing it. You know, he just looks like he's a little slower with the swing. And so maybe Semien, that's a different approach with him. Instead of, I don't know, though, if you get this across to Corey Seager. Corey Seager doesn't earn his home run swing. He just swings.
And look.
So that's another thing. We'll get to Evan Carter in a minute, but.
Maybe we want to ask Bruce Bochy this tomorrow, but Brett Boone is not Corey Seager's hitting coach.
No, he's not. And like, that's
Corey
an absolute.
Seager has his own hitting coach.
Yes. And you know, granted, so does Jock. Berger. So do all these guys. But maybe the messaging they were getting before will be different than the messaging their hitting instructors have been giving them. So we'll see how that goes along. But I am hopeful that they, you know, go out there and score 9, 12, 20 runs tonight. And otherwise, we got to let them go. You know, like that would be a bad thing.
Now, one of the things that Chris Young said yesterday, you know what? Let's go to Chris Young, cut number one. We might have to start and stop this. Some of these answers are longer, but he did give a lot of in-depth answers. One of the things I took away from this is he talked about wanting to make a change, because by no means, does Chris Young think that this season is sunk?
Well, just really, you have to look at the overall performance of the team, and at a point at which there's still a lot of baseball left, but the trend lines are really such that we decided that we need a new voice at the top to help get the best out of our group. And unfortunately, we felt like it was time to make this decision and part ways with Donnie. I mean, really, this is not a reflection of Donnie necessarily. I mean, this is all of us collectively, myself, the coaching staff, Boach, and of course the players have responsibility anytime a decision like this is made. But we did feel like at this point in the season, with a lot of baseball left.
Let me pause you right there. Now, it's the second time that you've heard him say that. I don't mean that as a critique. I mean, if you're looking for the reason that this happened, besides the trend lines, which we can get to in just a second, multiple times, there is a lot of baseball left in this season, and he felt like he needed to make the move now while there still is enough season left to salvage, you know?
Yes.
And if you look at the numbers, he was talking about the trend line, so obviously the direction things are going, and we can dive further into that. But for the entire season, Texas Rangers, 25th in slugging, 26th in batting average, 28th in on-base percentage, 29th in runs scored, and 29th in walk rates. So you are bottom two in multiple categories, but you're bottom fourth in like most of the measurable offensive categories, and that's why it happened.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You have to make a change whenever things aren't going well. Otherwise, you do what happened last year. You wait patiently and say, well, the result was there last year, you had a complete season of the similar bad results that you're having right now. So, all right, we got to move on from this and see if we get something else. Again, because we think that this roster that we built, that financially we are invested in, can do better. And so we have to figure out, unless it's time to start stripping down the team, and they're not there yet. They're not prepared to do that yet, because with some of the players, you kind of have to admit that you might have been wrong about taking the gamble on them. And other ones, you're like, man, that big contract is significant, and I have to deal with it for a while, and you got to go tell your boss – who gave you that money to do it. So you have to make decisions that you hope or will set you up for better success.
From the 903, fix Marcus, Garcia, Jock, and Berger. Only tweak Heim, Young, Smith, Higgy, and Langford and leave Seager alone. Now, from the 469, I don't understand. Carter wasn't hitting in the minors. How's he going to hit in the MLB if he can't hit in the minors? Sigh. False. And that's one of the tricky things when you have to look into the trend.
What's false? Yeah, that okay, good. What's false?
That he's not hitting in the minors. False. All right, so let's take, if you want to take the entire year,
yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Four numbers.
But we talked about it. He was awful to start the minor league season. But look at the last 3 weeks, all right? In the last 3 weeks, he's hitting .284 with a .351 on-base percentage and an OPS, which feels like kind of the go-to stat for a lot of people now, is .928. And he's picked up his frequency of being able to play in games. So Round Rock just finished their week. That's six games. He played in five of them. So over the last 3 weeks, you've seen more durability in terms of Evan Carter being able to get out there. You've seen more contact, and you have seen some more power, hence the OPS. So I hear you on the left-handed thing. I'm still with you on that. But if you, what I don't think we can say he just hasn't been hitting in the minor leagues, because I think that is inaccurate.
Yeah, dude. Actually, going back, I'm trying to figure out, Kevin, going back to early April, he was getting 1-2 hits a game down there. And I think before everything before that was kind of like, oh man, what, why isn't there a bunch of home runs coming out here, a bunch of doubles and triples?
He started off horrible.
Yeah, he did start off bad, but he's picked it up of late. April 20th, go from there on, and you're feeling pretty confident about it. And I think the other thing that people really, or that the club needed to see was, does he look healthy? And but does he look like the back is still a problem and that he's never going to be able to play baseball again? You know, like the team really needed to see that he looked healthy again. And I think that's the thing that they're seeing when they're watching him run out triples, trying to run out inside the park home run. They said, no, he's back.
And I think both of those signs are particularly encouraging. Look, we're going to do the segment later in the show. I'm still not entirely sure how Evan Carter fits. Because I know a lot of people were like, well, obviously, you moved off of Leody. He's going to be your everyday center fielder. I do think he'll play some center field. I just don't know if I think that is an automatic plug and go.
Hearing Chris Young talk about him and his approach, I think it marries itself to what Boone does. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't go up there trying to hit every ball out of the park.
For sure.
He goes up there and he's like, I'm actually trying to walk if possible. Like, if I can, but if I see my pitch, I'm driving it. He's not one of those guys swinging at everything. And I think that's the, if I can get that in the lineup and it's proven through him, this is pinning a lot on him, Kevin. If I can get him in the lineup and it's proven that the way he goes about his business at the plate works, other guys in the lineup will see it and say, I got to do that too then, especially if that's what we're preaching.
As long as they don't do the thing at the very end where if it's a strike and he disagrees with it, he stares down.
That is a little bit.
Corey Seager can do that.
I hope he's
that's fine.
Grown in that respect just a little bit. Even Wyatt kind of is different with his approach.
Although
there.
Wyatt at least is like, look at the numbers. I helped get the ABS system put in place in spring training. All right. Do you want to hear from Chris Young about Evan Carter?
Sure.
Or Alejandro Osuna?
Osuna. Obviously.
Let's go to cut number 10. What about Alejandro Osuna?
Yeah, Alejandro's doing wonderfully. He's again, he got off to a little bit of a slow start at Double A too, and of recent, he's really turned it on. I was in Frisco last week and got to see him play. He tripled and homered the game I was there. It was fun to see. Continues to get better. You know, the next step for him at some point will be Triple A. My guess is that will be relatively soon here. We'll kind of get through today and talk with the PD group and see kind of what the timing on that may be. But he's doing wonderfully. But, you know, he's a work in progress.
Let's go and pause it there. I think that part is the relevant information is you're about to see him jump up to Triple A, but still the work in progress. So while I continue to have fever dreams about the fact that Osuna could have made the team breaking camp, let alone make the team now, I like that Chris Young is like, hey, I saw him when I went to see him in person. He was unfreaking believable.
I like how he downplayed. He had a triple and homer on the game that I was there for.
Yeah.
It's just casual.
But so that's the next step. They're going to move up to AAA, and then we'll see what goes from there. And that will be fascinating because obviously you hope you don't have any injuries. Unfortunately, that is just part of all sport. But even if you don't, if Evan Carter struggles, then I'm curious if we go back to what we're going to talk about later in the show about Josh Smith being in center field and then a little bit of Osuna maybe here and
trade
there.
Trade Adolis, and then you have your full outfield the way you want it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be super intrigued by an ultra young outfield, but I think you could play Osuna some in right field absolutely as well.